you can worry about depression. And I just want to make it clear here that on this talk tonight for the people in Shiloh, but also for those who will be listening on the website, there is a parental advisory explicit content label will be attached to this one. So if you're of a sensitive nature and one of those wee sensitive creatures, you might be offended tonight. But as we say in Shiloh, tough. So I'm just going to ask for God's blessing on his word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we turn to your word, help us to understand how you begin to address the issue, Lord, of depression. The world can offer so many ways, and we thank you for medical interventions, and we thank you for the so many ways, Lord God, that are there to try to help people. But really, Lord, you are the great physician. You are God who formed each of us in our mother's womb. You know everything about us. You know how to restore our souls. You know, Lord God, how to lift us out of the pits. But Lord, we just look to you now, please, to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 19 says this, "And Ahab, he was the king at the time, told Jezebel, who was his wife, all that Elijah, who was the prophet of God, had done. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But Elijah went the day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.' Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched Elijah and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' Then over to verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place.'" Last week, speaking on depression, Dave told us, many people who suffer from depression think that it's self-inflicted. It's a direct result of something they have done or something that they have failed to do. But as Dave also said, depression is an indiscriminate illness, afflicting 1 in 4 people at any time. So if you take a look around you, as John was saying this morning, as Dave mentioned last week, you don't have to stretch your arms too far to touch someone in this fellowship who is either suffering from or has suffered from depression. And yes, of course, it can be brought on by circumstances, and that's what's known as a reactive depression, such as the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the breakdown in a relationship, for example. But this can often be overcome as the issues are faced and addressed. So we all know that when a loved one dies, you know, we know that there comes a period where we manage to get over it. Most of us manage to get over that and get on with our lives. So, you know, that reactive depression, for whatever reason, can be addressed very, very quickly. But there are two other types of depression, or darker depressions, I like to call them, which go beyond our outward circumstances and lead people into what Dave last week aptly called the valley of the shadow of death. And these depressions are first and foremost endogenous depression, or a clinical depression, a chemical depression. And the second for Christians is spiritual depression. And both of these often take their sufferers into very, very dark places indeed. For some, it leads them to complete despondency and despair, where thoughts of suicide, actually thinking about taking their own lives, becomes comforting as they journey along this path where they see no light at all. Or as the saying goes, the only light they see when they think it's a light at the end of the tunnel is another train coming to hit them up the face. I have to say, this is a wee warning for anyone. If you're suffering from depression, I'm probably not the best person to come to for support. I'm the foot in the mouth or insensitive counselor who says things like, "I'm sure you'll be all right in the morning." Or, "I know you're suffering from depression, but don't let it get you down." You know, I say the stupid things to people who suffer from depression. And I can prove it. I remember helping a guy when I worked in London, and he had come to see me suffering from depression. And he was very serious, and he was very, very down. And he told me how, on one occasion, he clung to the edge of a bridge over a motorway. And he waited and waited until he saw a lorry coming. And he was holding on with his hands onto the railing, waiting and waiting until he saw this big lorry coming toward him. And he was hoping to let go and land right in front of it. However, as soon as he let go, no sooner than he let go of the railings, the big lorry indicated and changed lanes. And he broke both his kneecaps on the road. I laughed so much that the tears were rolling down my face. I couldn't stop laughing. This was in a counseling situation where this man was telling me about the horrors of his life, about trying to kill himself, letting go, and then watching as he's falling towards the ground, as the lorry indicates and changes lanes, and he cracks both his knees on the ground, and they had to get an ambulance to take him to hospital. Like, how about compounding your depression? You can't even kill yourself. I couldn't stop laughing. And he was horrified. And then when I calmed down, on another occasion, he told me during winter, he says, on another occasion, it was a freezing cold winter night. And he was overcome, he said, with suicidal thoughts. And he got up from his bed and he went into the garage determined to kill himself. And he said he was going to attach a hose to the exhaust of the car and put it into the car and kill himself. And he says to me, "Taddy," he says, "I looked around in the garage." And he says, "I found a hose that fitted the exhaust, but it wasn't long enough," he says, "to fit into the car." He says, "And then I searched around, he says, "and I found another hose that was long enough to fit into the car, but," he says, "I couldn't get it wide enough to fit under the exhaust." He says, "What the bloody hell with this?" He says, "If I stay here much longer, I'll freeze to death." Hello? Wanting to commit suicide? I laughed and laughed and laughed. I was shaking with laughter and the tears rolling down my face. In fact, the guy's brother actually knocked the counselling room door and came in to see what is going on. And when he left, me laughing there and the brother just looking, as soon as he left, the brother started to laugh. The guy that I was counselling supposedly started to laugh as well, and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And that was the beginning of his healing. See, in our story, in the context, let me put this into the context for you. In our reading from 1 Kings, we see this great, great man of God, this man, Elijah the prophet, suffering from depression. But just before he ran away because of this death threat that King Ahab's wife Jezebel had put upon him, Elijah had been powerfully used by God. If you go into chapter 17, 18 and read the story, he had been powerfully used by God to turn the hearts of the people back to worshipping the living God and away from worshipping the false god Baal. And not only had Elijah turned the hearts of the people back to God, but he had also had all the false priests and the false prophets of Baal killed. And of course, on hearing this, Jezebel promised Elijah he would be dead within 24 hours. Well, this great, powerful man of God was suddenly overwhelmed with fear and ran for his life. This man of God who trusted in the Lord and was used mightily by God fled in fear. In fact, we're told that he cried out that he had had enough of life and actually wanted to die. He felt totally worthless and useless. Let me tell you something, Christian. That's how quickly the enemy can strike. One day this man used powerfully and mightily by God, and like that, in the pits of depression, wanting to die. Well, I know what I would have done with Jezebel. I'd have killed the bitch. Now, I chose these words carefully to tell you another story of a friend of mine who once suffered from depression. While driving along the road with his wife, God help her, in the passenger seat, the wheels of his car started to hit the cat's eyes on the road. And the sound of the tires rolling on the cat's eyes resounded in his head. And without fully realizing it, he found himself thinking to the same beat of the road, kill the bitch, kill the bitch, kill the bitch. And he's driving along, really depressed, wanting to kill himself, hearing this noise and kill the bitch, kill the bitch, kill the bitch. And he puts his foot on the accelerator and it's going, kill the bitch, kill the bitch, kill the bitch, kill the bitch, kill the bitch. And only his wife screamed, thankfully, loud enough and over the noise of the voices in his head and the noise of the beat of the cat's eyes. She shouted, stop, for God's sake, you're going to kill us both. And suddenly, he realized, and he slowed the car down. That is how quickly depression can overcome your mind and drive you literally to your death. You see, all joking aside, depression can lead people to very, very dark places and can do so very, very quickly. You see, whether a person's depression is reactive, whether it is endogenous or spiritual, and that's where Satan oppresses you continually, God has a very simple way to begin to address it. Now, I'm not trying to make light of depression here. I'm telling you examples of how different people were brought to the darkest places in their lives. And some people who are suffering from depression, that journey can take years to where they come to the point, say, I've had enough. But as you've seen with Elijah, it was 24 hours crying out, I don't want to live, I want to die. I feel totally useless, I feel utterly worthless within 24 hours. Or for some people, it can take years, but it can bring you to that very, very dark place. But God has a remedy to begin to address depression. And so look at the story of what he does with Elijah. It was there. We heard it. I read it. God's remedy is there. Firstly, what does he do? He makes sure that Elijah gets sleep. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? But listen to what happens. God makes sure Elijah gets sleep. I want to die, I want to die, I want to die. I can't live like this anymore. People who are suffering from depression want to go to bed at night and hope to God that they're not going to waken up the next day. God makes sure he gets sleep. People suffering from depression will often want to sleep or can find that their sleep pattern is so disrupted and disturbed. God begins by giving rest. And that rest means trusting him in spite of our circumstances to look after us. Secondly, in the account you see, God gets Elijah to eat. Doesn't it sound ridiculous? Get some sleep. Get something to eat. You see, again, a person suffering from depression can lose their appetite or can go the complete opposite and comfort eat, thus disrupting or disturbing their proper eating habits, which are necessary to sustain them throughout their journey. You see, the angel awakens Elijah
feeds him, and then allows him to get more rest. And people suffering from depression are often so burdened with life problems that they just desperately need rest. I tell the story of a woman who was meticulous about her home and her children and how she looked after them, and they were kitted out in the best of gear. And then she started to suffer from depression. And what the social workers had to do with her was take her completely out of the picture for 1 week. And in that week that she was away, whatever it was she was doing, she was away, she rested. And then they brought her back to her home. And they nearly sent her back into the depression because she cried and cried when she saw the state of her house. That would never have happened except for the fact that she was depressed. And sometimes we need to rest in God. We need to feed of God. But we need to do these physically as well. We need to rest. We need to sleep. We need to learn to get our eating pattern back as well. I do this when I'm working with drug addicts, and it works very, very effectively. In fact, Jesus said, "Come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, weighed down with depression or whatever else, and I will give you rest." Thirdly, God gets Elijah up and sends him on a journey to complete a task. I want you to go down this road, and I want you to anoint this bloke and this bloke and this bloke. In other words, God gives Elijah purpose. Something to complete. Something that will occupy him and take his mind off his fears and his concerns. God does simple things like that. It could be, I want you to get up and go for a walk. I want you to do a simple thing. Often with people suffering from depression, to ask them to do anything can be taxing. But if something can be found that gives them a sense of purpose, it can begin to restore their sense of worth and slowly turn them around. You see, God knows every person needs to feel safe. He knows that every person needs to feel valued and to have a sense of purpose in their lives. And he also knows those suffering from depression need that little bit more encouragement and support. As Dave said last week, for some people, depression really is like walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But you don't have to walk it alone. There is one who will be with you and will draw alongside you to comfort you and to help you. As John showed last week, the Lord draws near to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. He does not despise. On the 4th of August, 1990, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, I decided that I was going to end my own life. I had made the decision about a fortnight before. In fact, I'd been down and had shared with Rita that I really was down. At this time, I had been suffering from depression, and it was a very dark depression, for over 2 years, and could see absolutely no way out. It was still, to this day, it was the darkest time of my life. Everyone and everything that I loved became totally meaningless to me. Nothing that anyone said could help me or encourage me. I was in despair, and suicide actually became my greatest comfort. And when I made the decision, the sense of relief that I felt having made that decision was incredible. But I knew there was no going back. On the 4th of August, at 12 o'clock, I had decided that I would end my life. At 11 o'clock that morning, my dad was found dead downstairs while I was upstairs ironing my shirt to be found dead in.
And as I witnessed the heartbreak that my dad's death brought, as I listened to my sisters coming from two different directions down the street, breaking their hearts at the news of my father's death, I realized that I could not make things any worse at that time. But slowly, God began to work in me. And you know, I can now see his handiwork as through it all, he crafted a way out for me that gave me a sense of purpose. You see, it's only by the grace of God that I'm here tonight to speak about depression and the darkness it can bring. And I know I can tell funny stories about depression, because in Northern Ireland, it doesn't matter how tragic things are, we always find a sense of humour, and thank God for it. But it's also by the grace of God that I can tell you there is hope even in the darkest depression, even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. You see, God knows where you are at. He knows how you feel, and he can help you. All you've got to do is call out to him, completely entrusting yourself to him, and let him do what he needs to do to make you feel safe, valued, and to give you a sense of purpose again in your life. Why pray when you can worry about depression? Let God be with you in your depression until he raises you up to a higher place. Because he loves you, he will do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we have heard funny stories about people's experience of depression, but Lord, nonetheless, their experiences were very, very real. These were people who were about to end their lives, but thanks be to your amazing grace. Thanks be to the fact that you are a compassionate God. These people are alive today. But Lord, we know that there are many others who, suffering from darkest depression, have committed suicide. Lord, no one commits suicide in their right mind. It's a permanent solution to a possible temporary problem. But we pray for people tonight, Father, who may be suffering from depression at this time, who are in a very dark, dark place. And we ask for your grace and for your compassion and for your mercies for them, please. And we pray that you would help them to hear your voice, that they would come to you, Father, that they would entrust themselves to you, and that you would lift them up to a higher place and give them a sense of purpose again in their lives, that they would feel valued and loved again. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for the simple things in life that you say can help us. Getting rest, eating properly, just having something positive and constructive to do with our time. Help us, Lord, please, to remember those simple truths when we meet others who need to be comforted, who need to know your help. Father, we thank you tonight for Jesus, because in him there is hope. That no one has to walk through the valley of the shadow of death alone, because Jesus is there and he will be with them if they will simply call upon his name. We thank you, Father.